So reading, if you would stand, looks like you already did that. Thank you. Reading from John chapter 17, verses 1 through 26. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I have come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be as one as we are one. While I was in the world with them, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Steve will be speaking next bonus hour, next Sunday at 9:30. So show up for that. 9 o'clock, I'm sorry. Don't come at 9:30, he'll just be warming up. One more announcement. Next week, we're going to have another Celebrate Recovery service, much like the one we had before, except a different testimony. We heard a testimony several weeks ago, and it was so incredibly powerful that this is something the church needs to hear. So if you have a connection to Vida, and you work in that ministry, Vida leadership needs to be here for this testimony. If you work with Harvest House, and you have a connection to Harvest House, they need to be here for this testimony. If you're in a life group, your life groups need to all be here. You should be here anyway for this testimony. And if you know somebody that comes from the rough place, the broken place, and the need of restoration place, invite them to this testimony. This one is different, and this one is powerful, and this one will speak to everybody in the room, but he will validate through his testimony those who want to know Christ. So that's my challenge for you. So next week, this is a big deal, and it's a powerful deal, and you'll be hanging on your seat as it's shared. Some from CR have already heard them, and I'm sure they'll be back. And then just pray that that worship team comes here ready to go. Mike, you like a break every now and then. And you like this worship from what you've told me. So it'll be good. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we just ask your hand to be on the remainder of this service. Lord, let me speak the words you want me to speak in the way that you want me to speak them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In your folder, we give a little update as to, or a little heads up as to what's coming in the message. And I just want to read the first half of that to you. So if you have your bulletin, it's on the back page. And it says, in John 17, Jesus Christ prays to the Father just before his death, reflecting on the completion of his mission. He declares that he has revealed the Father to his disciples, given them God's word, and secured eternal life for those who believe. He also asks to be restored to his former glory, showing both his unity with the Father and the fulfillment of his work on earth. And then there's more, and you can read that later at your own leisure. John 17, 1, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. These words are incredibly powerful. And if I was to ask you, who knows the Lord's Prayer? Raise your hand. Okay, can we pray the Lord's Prayer together? You guys start. Wrong. 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 You got it all wrong. We teach our children that that's the Lord's Prayer. You know what that is? That's the Lord teaching us how to pray. Because when we get to the place where it says, and forgive us our trespasses, I don't think Jesus had any trespasses. In fact, he did not have any trespasses. No, he's teaching us how we go before God and how we pray. Amen. He has a different prayer. Right. And this is what we're going to talk about today. His prayer to the Father. This is the prayer from Jesus to the Father concerning you and I. Amen. Also concerning himself. Right. With the Father. This is incredibly powerful stuff. John 17, this is something you should read from time to time. And I'm saying this to you like I do this all the time. No, this is something we should read from time to time because it just gives us a greater picture of his mission, his heart, and what his sacrifice was to us. This must have been such a powerful moment. Jesus speaks directly to the Father, allowing the disciples to witness the reality and the glory of the relationship while revealing both the Father's glory and his own as the Son. In this prayer, this is being revealed. It's a teaching for us. It's communication with the Father for him. In verse 2, it says, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. God has given Jesus Christ the authority over all people. And with that authority, he gives eternal life to those whom God has entrusted to him. God has entrusted you and me to Christ. He's taken us under his wing, under his covering, under his blessing, under his authority, under his power. And he has raised us up to be all that he has called us to be. And he's doing that on behalf of the Father. Wow. Wow. How can he do that? because he came here not to serve, or not to be served, but to serve. That's what he came here for. What does that mean for us? When we come to Christ, our mantra, our behavior should change, and we should become a people who have come to serve people. We should be a people who come and serve this world. Now, that's a big thing, but our worlds get really small as we get personalized with the people in our circles, right? We're to serve them. We're doing marriage counseling for a couple couples. And you know what we're talking about? The father's role, right? We're the priest. The man is the priest in his own home, and his role is to serve, because that's what Christ came to do. He came to serve the Father by serving his people. And he calls us as husbands to serve our spouses and our families like he served. That's pretty incredible stuff. In my eye, it is. And then it goes on in verse 3 to say, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And this is eternal life. What does that mean? That they, those who are in your care, would come to know Jesus Christ as the way to the Father. We have some responsibility. We have a role. In fact, as a believer, we're viewed quite highly, if you think about it. We're viewed so highly that God lets him join us in his mission. God lets us join us in his son's mission. To what? To speak life to those in our circle and beyond of who he is. That's how we serve. That's our best way of serving. Now, there's other ways to serve, but this is the primary function. This is the primary purpose for what he has called us to do. That we would be his hands, and we would be his feet, and we would go, and we would be his mouthpiece to those who haven't heard, those who don't know, those who haven't felt, those who haven't had the truth of Christ expressed to them. And he puts that on us. And I'm going to make it really simple in terms of where to go. And I'm going to make it very difficult in terms of who to go to. Where do you go? I'm just going to challenge you to go to your family. And the hard part is you go to them, you serve them, and speak the truth of who he is. And there's nothing easy about it. So I think this is something you pray about. Do you love your families? How many people here would say, "I love my family"? Yeah. How many people say, "I love my family"? Yeah, I get that. Those are probably the ones you're supposed to go to first. These guys. Go to them and serve them. Go to them and share Christ with them. Take your hits, because you will take hits. You'll be laughed at. You'll be scoffed at, maybe. It's okay. That means you're doing it right. That's my word to the whole church. And by the way, I'm speaking to me. I got to do all this stuff too. Verse 4 says, "I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have..." Jesus is saying he has glorified the Father. Everything was pointed back to the Father, and he accomplished everything that the Father sent him to do. And he's telling the Father in this priestly prayer. Do you ever give honor to those who have spoken the truth of God to you? I just want you to think about that a second. Who poured the truth of God into you? What family member? What neighbor? What church? We all come from so many different places. Who spoke the truth of God to you, and did you ever thank him for it? Sally, I thank you. You spoke it to me first in the way that it is. Jerry Bruette spoke it into me all the time. I have friends who are elders who have spoken the truth of who God is to me, and I thank you. Neil, you have spoken the truth to me for several years now. And I thank you. Thank those who have poured Christ into you. And you see a big list, I think, of all the different people that have poured into you and spoken to you. Jesus is giving glory to the Father because it is the Father who spoke into him. Thank you. I wasn't even hunting for that. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. We forget sometimes. We think of Jesus as this guy in a nice white robe until it got dirty on the path that's reaching people. Long hair and a beard, eating who knows what, living and sleeping who knows where. Just think about that for a second. Think about him. Think about his purpose for being here. And now we're going to give him glory. Because he took his service to a hill, to a cross. He took the beatings that were meant for us. He took the punishment that was meant for us. Why? Because he came to serve. He came to seek and to save also those who are lost. He came for us. Where did he come from? He came from heaven to this place for us. And what he's telling the Father here is, I've finished what you have called me to do. The work that you have put before me, I have done. This is after the cross, or this is just before the cross he's given thanks. He knows what's coming with the cross, and he's going to finish the task completely on the cross, descended into hell for 3 days, and at the resurrection, and he's going to continue the work for another, how many days? 40 days? How many days? He's making intercession. He's taking care of our business. He's given them a chance to grow. We're waiting for him, and on the 50th day, he's going to return, and we're going to talk about that. But he's not going to return as Jesus. He's going to return as the Spirit of God, his Spirit, at Pentecost, and we'll cover that. But what's he doing? He's taking care. He's tying up all the loose ends. There's not really loose ends, but he's tying it all up together to show us the completed work that he has done for you and I. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus says that eternal life is knowing God and knowing him as the one sent by the Father. He says he has completed the work God gave him to do on earth, and now he asks to be restored to the glory he shared with the Father before the world existed. After he's done the great work, he is going to ascend to the Father. That's where he is right now. Is he just on Easy Street now? I don't think so. He's there making intercession for you and me. He's praying for us. He's praying for the church. He's praying for those that will still come. And he's calling us to be a part of that work. That's what's going on right now in heaven. He's praying for us. See this thing through. Old Christians, salt the old Christians. Stay in the fight. Keep doing the things you're doing. And start doing the things he's calling you to do on top of that, whatever that is. Be about his business. This is a great work. And he goes from that prayer, this portion of the prayer where he's praying about him and his relationship with the Father. And then he begins to pray for his disciples. In verse 6, it says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of this world. They were yours. This is really powerful. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. That's so hard to grasp unless you were a parent. And you think of your children, and God blesses you with a child. And that child was his. He knew him before the foundations of the earth. And he gives that child as a blessing to you. And then what do we do with it? We raise them in the way that they should go. What about when they go off and they don't listen to us anymore? You pray for them in the way that they should go. See to it that you're about the work that he has put before you. And it's first and foremost, I'm going to talk to parents for a second here. It's your family. It's your children. And it links up with what he has done for us. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. They have kept your word. Now he's talking about the disciples. Because Jesus is praying for them. He's still praying for disciples. Not the disciples. Disciples. People that follow Christ. People that are growing in Christ. He's praying for us. He makes intercession for you and me. Why? He wants us to finish strong. And I think, I believe, he wants us to be a part of the great mission, the commission with him. Jesus has revealed who God truly is to his disciples. The disciples belong to God already, and God entrusted them to Jesus. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Why? Because God trusted them with us. And he did well with us. They've accepted and obeyed God's message. Keep your word. In short, Jesus is stating that he faithfully taught his followers about God, and they responded by believing and living according to the truth. When Jesus says that they have kept your word, it means that they have kept the truth. Word and truth go hand in hand. Hang on to the truth of God's word. But you can't hang on to what you don't know. So you got to know his word. It's no light thing to be in Scripture, reading it. It's no little thing. It's no light thing to be about the things of God. It's a big deal. And he's calling us to that place. Be about the big deal. Verse 7 says, "Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you." Everything that Jesus received is from him. Every gift, every good and perfect gift for you and I come from above. So he passes gifts down to us. To what end? His work's end. To do what he's called us to do. To that end. So as Jesus is praying to the Father, there's exchanges going on this holy, deep level. But then it comes down to us. And he's bringing down the relationship we have with him. And the things that he's passing down to us. Do the things I have done. Wow, thank you, Jesus. In John 18:37, Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king, for this is the cause I was born. And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." This is his dialogue with Pilate. And you know, Pilate's going to go to that place and he's going to say, "What is truth? What do we know about truth in Christ?" You can yell this one out. He is the truth. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." His aim, his goal is to get us to the Father. What a gift. What a Savior. This is so incredibly important. The reality here is that these men are now going to be responsible for the professing, the teaching, and the spreading of the truth. Who is? The disciples are. The originals. And a few extras that are caught up in this that God has spoken through. And it becomes the New Testament for all that we know in the New Testament today. There's a responsibility that went from the Father to the Son and now the Son to the disciples, to the apostles. So if you hear us rant a little bit about everybody who is an apostle, this is a significant difference from the people that have apostolic gifting today. They were a part of Scripture. The passing on of Scripture. Capital passing on of Scripture. People that have giftings, that have apostolic anointing to it, are people who are going to places to pass along those scriptures that the other apostles gave us. All right? So there's a difference. And I'm not here to diminish one over the other. I'm here to say the reality and the power of the apostles and the responsibility they had, because it came from the Spirit of God. It came from the Son of God. And these are big deals. In verse 9 it says, "I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours." As Pastor Tim and I were dialoguing over this week, that is a deep statement. I'm going to pray for you, but not for you. Well, that's not really what's happening. Not like that, anyway. There's a different thing happening here. Jesus is saying that he has revealed the Father to his disciples, gave them God's word, which is the truth, and they accepted them, coming to understand and believe that he truly came from God and sent by him. The reality is that these men are now going to be responsible for the professing, the teaching, and the spreading of truth. The responsibility falls on them first because it began with Christ and has been passed down to them, and now it is passed down to the church. It's passed down to us. Just remember that. So he prays for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. He is praying for the purpose that's set before the apostles. And that purpose is to go and tell and preach and raise up and do the miracles necessary for a world that doesn't know who God is, the true God. That's a big deal. That is a big deal. And Jesus says in verse 10, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Wow. Thank you, Jesus, for putting responsibility on our shoulders to do the things that you have done in terms of sharing the truth of the gospel and sharing who you are. Next thing is I want to tell you about is he changes the tenor of this letter a little bit. In verse 11, he says, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I have come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. He is leaving the world. The responsibility and the mantle is being passed down to them. And they're going to go out and do the things he did, but it's going to be greater. They will cover more, they will do more, and they won't do it until they have the power of the Holy Spirit in them. That's the whole secret, really. The power of the Holy Spirit in them to do the things he's called them to do. If anybody has done ministry, worship team, if they don't come here under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll get songs. But when they come here in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit because they spent time with God before they stepped on this altar, there's an anointing that's different. It impacts us differently. It's not just, you know, just sing-along time. Amen. Same thing is true here. If who's ever speaking up here does not spend time in his word or spend time with God, asking him to fill me fresh, remove me, take the place of where I used to be and use me, if we're not going to that place, you're going to get something. I don't know what you're going to get. It's going to be less than, though. It might even be good words, and it's going to be less. It's going to not carry the anointing that the Holy Spirit has meant for it to carry if we do it in our own strength. The other thing is we'll be exhausted. We will not be able to handle what comes at us after sharing the truth of who God is. We get bombarded with little things, and they blow us up. If anybody's preached a message, gave a testimony, shared a sermon, whatever it is, you know the feeling of being up there and you know the response. If you fall short, what does it do to you? It wrecks you. It can. I love it when I get a note saying, we're praying for you. That's all I need. Keep praying for me. But I'll tell you what, even that, if I'm not praying for myself, not to myself, for myself, God, fill me. God, use me. God, get me out of the way. You do this, God. If I'm not doing that, I don't know why y'all come here on a Sunday, to be honest. To hear happy words? No. You want to hear the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and you want to hear the word delivered and the truth as best as, you know, with as little flaws as the human man can do or woman can do. You want to hear the truth. That doesn't just come because I read a couple chapters. Or whoever speaks up here because they read a couple chapters. It comes because they're scared to death to be in front of a crowd unless the Spirit of God is there. And we invite them in. This is how God delegates down. When Jesus says that they may be one as we are one, he's praying for unity among his followers that looks like unity between him and the Father. That's so, to me, that's so powerful. Thank you, Jesus. It doesn't mean that they become one person, but they would be deeply united in love, in purpose, and in truth, working together without division, just as the Father and the Son are fully united in their will, relationship, and in their mission. Unity in the body of Christ is paramount. Unity in the body of Christ is God's heart for us. There needs to be a unity in the church, not compromise, but unity. We worship the same God. We worship the one true God. We worship the God who sent his Son to pay the price for us, that we won't have to pay the price. That's who we worship. We worship him in spirit and in truth, by the word of God, as led by the Spirit of God. You read the word of God, the Spirit of God was present. But we read it with the Spirit of God in us. Holy Spirit, come. I got a whole message, as soon as I get it right in my head, that we're going to give you in a little while, not today. My head's crooked. Got to get it right. And Jesus says in verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those who you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. We know that that's Judas. So what happened is more about Judas revealing who he truly was, not what God did to him. God didn't do anything to him. The revelation of who Judas was is the same revelation many will find on that day when they're not accepted in. We said all the right things. We did all the good works. We didn't kill the dolphins. We were just really good, decent people. We treated our neighbors well. Those are good things. But did you commit to Christ? Did he come in and enter in and take you over, have control of you? When it says in his word that apart from him we can do nothing. Nothing. What does that mean? We accomplish things, but no thing that matters in his economy. Nothing without him. We need Jesus. We need his Holy Spirit. We need to surrender and give him first place in our lives. And I know it's kind of preachy, but actually that's what they're paying me for. I'm supposed to preach. So na-na-na-na-na-na. I'm preaching at us. So this is a great warning for you and I. It's a great warning for the church. Where do you stand with Christ? Where do you stand in terms of being moved by his Spirit? Where do you stand in terms of growing in him? Are you stagnating in him or are you growing in him? He wants a church that's growing. Stagnation is, to me, it's like bad water. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus is praying not just for the protection, but that they would have joy in God himself. Do you have that? This isn't a judgment statement. This is a challenge statement. Do you have joy in your heart? Do you have joy amongst his people? Or are you miserable? You all know what I'm talking about. You've seen the miserable. They can drag you. They're like an anchor, man. They just take you to the bottom. Don't hang with them. Pray for them that they would get filled with the Holy Spirit, that they would change. It sounds judgmental, but this is more than judgmental. This is more. This is bigger than somebody being judgmental. This is about hanging around believers who speak life to you because God is a life-giving God. This is what this is about. People that bring you down, get away from them. Send them a letter if you're going to witness to them. No return. Send them a letter. And tell them in that letter that God loves them and we're all called to commit to them. You know, if that's what you got to do. But don't beat your head against the same wall over and over and over, taking the same kicks in the teeth because they don't want anything to do with you. No, shake the dust off your feet, go home, talk to the mailman and say, hey, I want to send a letter to this guy or gal or whatever. and do that. Then go hang around a bunch of Christians that know Jesus and be lifted up again, because that's what happens when we come together in the bond of peace, when we come together in fellowship with one another. That's what he's calling for. That's what he desires in us. Verse 14 says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I've got to think about this one for a second. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. This is kind of like CNN and Fox News to me. This is a simple thing for me. They both report on the same story, but when you listen to the report, you would never know it's the same story. They witness the same things. It'll be interesting to see what happens after last night. Lord, keep the president safe. Keep his family safe, all the people there. They see and witness the same thing, and they report two totally different things. Not even close. Almost one is the antithesis of the other. That's how it works in the world. But not when we're together in Christ. There's a unity and there's an understanding. There's a bond, not just of peace, which is a beautiful thing, but there's a bond of understanding. You come across a true believer, and you're a believer, you know that you know. You can start to open up and carry on a conversation like you've been deep brothers for 70 years. And that's what he desires for the church. And I'm going to say this. Every church has a different personality, has a different way of doing things. So we don't discard them because they're different. If they're true believers in Jesus Christ, they know that he is the only way to the Father, and they've given their hearts to them, and that's the mantra of the church. Connect with them. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't judge them. Stop judging the church. You won't have unity if you're judging the church. Because if I broke this church down into individuals and say, get together with those who are like you, you might be standing alone. And you'd look around and say, there's a lot of alone people here. Okay, just kind of trying to press through this a little bit. John 15:18 says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Do you ever feel hated? That's a good thing. By the world. If you're hated by the world, it's a good thing. If you're navigating this world just too cool, you're making it, it's good, I get along with everybody. I don't know. Compromise is in there somewhere. How about when you have to speak up? When the Spirit of God starts to talk to your heart. And he wants it to go from your heart to your mouth. And he wants you to share. What about then? Well, I can't share to those guys. They'll mock me. Of course they will. I'd rather be mocked by them instead of chastised by the Holy Spirit for not responding when he's called me to respond, for speaking when he's called me to speak. Anyway, I don't mean to be, yeah, I do. I do mean to be preachy. Verse 12 says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them. In your name, those who you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition that the scripture might be filled. Did I already read that one? Okay, I'm just going to turn the page. I'm sorry. Verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of this world, but that you should keep them from the evil one, that they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. That's the prayer. He prays that we'd not be overtaken by the evil one. How do we not get overtaken by the evil one? By knowing the true one. It's that simple. The enemy of your soul can't hardly touch you. Except for one, what God allows. But he can't touch you without God's permission because you belong to God. And then the question is, do you really belong to God? Judas's problem was he did not really belong to God. Said the right things, but his heart was deceitful. He did his thing. And this is probably the most challenging thing that we're going to say today for the church. Are we doing God's thing or are we doing our thing under the banner of God? This is a big deal. That I'm doing my own thing all the time because I refuse. I'm stiff-necked, I'm stubborn, and I'm not doing his thing. But when I'm broken and I'm humbled before him, he brings me to a place where his thing is the only thing left. And he brings me there because he loves me. And he gives me an opportunity as I'm on my face to do his thing. That's a loving God. That's like the parent who disciplines their kids so they do the right thing and not the wrong thing that hurts them. We'll talk about spanking next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's an angry dad if ever I heard one. No. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You guys believe that? God's word is truth. It's all we have to hang on. Oh, boy. Worship team, you guys can come up. We're going to fast forward this here. Jesus stresses this, that this protection comes through truth, and that the word is truth means that scripture is not just helpful, but it's the very standard by which believers are sanctified. The truth of God's word is what grows us. Handshakes, cornhole tournaments, getting together and eating food are good things. But that's not the end thing. The end thing is his word. And that we ingest his word. The booyah was great, but we have to ingest his word because that's what changes us. That's what forms us. That's what separates us from goats. Very honestly, the word of God is everything. And it's amazing. The reason why we know it's everything is because it's the thing we don't want to do. I read 3 chapters every day and I don't remember a thing I read. Okay, I understand that. I've been there. Read 3 more. Keep not understanding, but keep reading. And the Spirit of God will begin to reveal things to you in due time. But you have to ingest it. His word is life. Get life in you. Real life. Because the nonsense we're ingesting now, I just told you of 2 TV stations that I watch way too much. I'm ingesting that nonsense. No, we're to be ingesting his precious word. That's why life groups is such a big deal, because it moves us to get into the truth more and more. And you know what? I found that people that get involved in life groups are growing more and more in understanding his word. I'm one of those. I know all about it. Verse 18 says, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. That's you and me. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. He is our image to follow. He's the image bearer. He is the reality. We're to follow his pattern. And we get into the truth of who he is and the truth of his word, and it becomes us. And we begin to share us, but it's really sharing him with people. Just as God sent Jesus into the world with a purpose, Jesus sends his believers, us, into the world as well. By setting himself apart from them, he makes it possible for them to be made holy through God's truth. That word will shape us, grow us, and form us, and conform us to his pattern, his likeness, instead of our own or instead of the world's. Thank you, Jesus. I do not pray for these alone, but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. This is the Father talking to the Son, now who is passing it on to us. Thank you, Jesus. Why? That they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's the end game. That the world believes that Jesus did all the things that he was called to do, that the Father sent him, that he sends us, that they come to know him, because that's where salvation lies, is knowing him. This might sound a little redundant. That's okay. Thank you, Jesus. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I think if there was a prayer and a challenge for this church, it is this: Father God, open our hearts to each other in this room. God, open our hearts to every ministry that is connected to this room. God, open our hearts to those that you put before us, that we may speak the truth of who you are to them, that they would be one with us in you. That's the prayer of the church. That's the work of the church. Don't worry about the color of the carpet. Don't worry about the decor that goes on. That's for Craig to worry about. And Jane, that's not for us to worry about. That again, I'm having some fun, all right? Because we haven't talked about the big stuff yet. Don't worry about the pig roast. You can dream about it. Don't worry about it. No, worry about this. Christ in you is so that you become like Christ to others. That's the reality. If you don't know him, everything, how do I say it? Everything's a sham personally in your life if you don't know Christ. Everything's a deception in your life if you don't know Christ. But if you know him and you walk by the light of who he is, you become an impactor for the kingdom of God. You become somebody who is acting on the prayer of the Father, or of the Son to the Father and back to us. So if that's you and you want to receive that Jesus during this worship set, just come up here. Just come up to the altar and say, I want to receive that. I want to lock that in my own life. And everybody's going to look at you when you come up here, so just deal with it. But the reality is, this is everything for us as believers. Amen? Amen. I pray that God's hand would be upon each one of you. And as his hand is upon you, the revelation of who he is comes deep within you, deep in your spirit, that you know that there is a God and Jesus is him, with the Father and the Spirit, and that he is here not to punish you, but to conform you to his pattern, to his likeness. I pray that for everybody in this room at whatever level we're at, and I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.